Christopher Springman, and this is Body Language. I have a confession to make. I love peanut butter. Crunchy, please. On toasted California sourdough bread. It's my favorite breakfast food. It is to die for. Well, not literally, I hope. But for 9 people who consume peanut butter and related peanut products, they are quite dead. Plus, 100 sickened, part of the basis for a Justice Department action against a peanut processing company involving salmonella infection in a case that one lawyer in the Wall Street Journal has called the biggest of its kind in decades. Well, that lawyer is with us today. He is Bill Marler of Seattle-based Marler Clark, which represents victims of food-borne illness. Mr. Marler, it's great to have you on Body Language.
Thank you very much.
I must say, you're a real hero of mine. How's that for being fair and balanced in the media, huh?
Yeah, you and my mom.
Before we get into the Peanut Corporation of America case, I'd like to give you a bit of the backstory about why food safety interests me. May I do that?
Sure, please.
I used to write CEO profiles for Chief Executive Magazine, and my subspecialty was crisis management, like the famous Johnson & Johnson Tylenol poisonings, which is how I became familiar with your work on the famous E. coli cases involving Ottawa's unpasteurized apple juice and Jack in the Box hamburgers. Unfortunately, well, I'd like to see you out of a job. I get the impression that's not going to happen anytime soon, is it?
Yes and no. I can tell you that the meat industry, although it still has problems today, is way better than it was 20 years ago or even 10 years ago.
And Odwalla is no longer producing unpasteurized apple juice. I think they do something called flash pasteurization now.
Unfortunately, one of the things I think we probably all know about Americans, and maybe that's just it's a human thing, that you have to get hit in the head with a 2x4 a couple of times before you change your behavior. And that's how the industry, food industry, has made incremental changes. They get whacked either by civil litigation or, and as the start of your show, by criminal sanctions.
Let's talk about the Peanut Corporation situation. First of all, what is salmonella and how can it be avoided on the job and also at home?
Salmonella is a fecal bacteria. It's found in a variety of animals, both warm-blooded and cold-blooded. There's been several outbreaks linked to turtles, frogs, snakes. But it's also can be found in the guts of cows and sheep and horses.
But how does it become present in food?
In a lot of ways, but it's a fecal bacteria, it'll get onto food, by bad processing methods where maybe water's tainted by animal feces or rats or mice get into a processing facility and leave a few presents here or there. Birds have been implicated in peanut butter related outbreaks. It's really just bad, handling practices.
The FDA, the Federal Drug Administration, which inspected the Peanut Corp's Blakely, Georgia plant, found that the company didn't clean adequately or take proper precautions to prevent food contamination. The FDA also said the plant, essentially what you just said, had a leaky roof, poor ventilation, and inadequate pest control, a polite term for, these are my words, rats, mice, and their feces. It's not coincidental that when one goes into a restroom, say at a supermarket or perhaps a restaurant, there are signs in several different languages here in San Francisco, Spanish, English, Tagalog, Mandarin, about washing your hands. It's not a suggestion. It's not a clever idea. It is the law.
Salmonella and E. coli and other are bacteria that can get into the human gut, and so good hand washing is essential. But for many of us who open that jar of peanut butter, the last thing you're expecting to have in there is fecal matter from some animal. And because this is not something you can see, taste, or smell. I'll give you an example. E. coli, which you hear about these big outbreaks, 10 to 50 bacterium is enough to kill your child, but 100,000 of them would fit on the head of a pin. So when you're looking in that jar of peanut butter, it's not, you can't look in there and say, oh, well, this has got salmonella, this has got E. coli. We rely on food manufacturers to do the right thing. And in the Parnell PCA situation, they did everything wrong.
In fact, the word conspiracy and cover-up has has appeared in several articles. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, basically what happened here is, you know, these individuals put profits before safety, getting product out the door in any way, shape, or form was more important than getting product safely out the door.
In fact, Mr. Parnell was quoted as saying, allegedly, telling employees that they could not waste peanuts. These are not peanuts you are throwing away every day. It is money. And yeah, God only knows where those peanuts were.
Yeah, well, and they were, you know, and all of that is in emails from Mr. Parnell to these individuals. So people ought to think twice what they put in an email or what they do on the internet.
Our guest is attorney Bill Marler of Seattle. His firm is called Marler Clark, and they specialize in representing victims of food-borne illness. This would be a great point to tell our listeners where they can learn more about your company, and I understand you have a newsletter entitled The Food Safety News.
Well, actually, it's more than a newsletter. About 3 years ago, I funded an online newspaper called Food Safety News at www.foodsafetynews.com, and it's staffed by four full-time reporters. It's completely independent of my law firm. Every once in a while I get to do an editorial, but that's about it. And it's really has become the go-to place for information about food safety, you know, all over the world. And it's been a lot of fun.
You know, I feel like running out the door of the studio right now, or at least after the interview, and washing my hands. You know, I consider you, Mr. Marler, to be a public health official. I realize you have ESQ after your name, but I often interview toxicologists, often members of the Society of Toxicology, pathologists, medical examiners, communicable disease specialists, ER physicians, and they have a responsibility as public health officials to report issues like E. coli or salmonella quickly to the CDC and state officials so that they can locate the vector, the carrier, identify that person or facility, as the case may be, and take action to isolate the problem, even incarcerate the problem. You know, the thing is, public health officials like the CDC and you know, state, local officials and the FDA are basically invisible to most people, since their work typically involves clean water, sanitation, and we trust intense oversight over food harvesting, processing problems like salmonella, and food handlers in the case of hepatitis A. This is a great big deal, isn't it?
It is, you know, and surveillance of foodborne illness is one of the most important things that public health can do. They're also, in many respects, the first responders when it comes to the potential for bioterrorism. Bioterrorism is going to look a lot like a foodborne illness outbreak, and even Republican Tommy Thompson, you know, warned about it when he left
Health and Human Services.
Health and Human Services.
What are your thoughts about staying healthy at home?
Well, I have some pretty simple advice, and this is 20 years of being involved in every major foodborne illness outbreak that you can imagine, and keep things simple. You know, the less processed foods, the better. The more that you can control what it is that you're doing, from washing your own lettuce leaves to handling your own food and cooking it properly, are the things that you can do to protect yourself.
Our guest has been Bill Marler of Seattle-based Marler Clark, a legal firm that represents victims of foodborne illness. You can learn more about Marler Clark and certainly Bill Marler by going to Food Safety News. That's foodsafetynews.com. Mr. Marler, it's been a pleasure having you on Body Language. Thank you.